Okay? Everybody together. I'm going to go through it once here. Out what? Who what? Say that with me. Here we go. Out what? Who what? One more time. Out what? Who what? If you're married, ouch what? Who what? If you're single, ouch what? Who what? If you're single and want to be married, ouch what? Who what? If you're... No, I'm just kidding. Are we got it? Ouch what? Who what? Okay? This is what is in my journal. This is what should be my next tattoo that I'm not going to get, but this is a focus thing. It's seriously helping me. Ouch, something's wrong. You're going to remember this. Ouch what? Who what? Something's wrong. I'm triggered. Ouch, that hurt. Okay? This is when you feel conflict. You sense something is wrong. Something just happened, and this isn't right. Happens in the job, no matter if you work with little kids, like Carol Ann does. Happy birthday, by the way, Carol Ann. Work with little kids, and the stress that comes with the staff and the kids and all the stuff that comes with it. Or you're a fireman, and somebody's not hooking something up right, and your life is on the line, and everybody else's, for that matter. It's all the same. I sense danger. Something's wrong. Some of you in here, you're masters at sensing this. You don't need much help at all. You don't need conflict pointed out to you. You sense it. It is simple. Take a look. There it is. Somebody gives you a look, a word, a missing word, or the middle finger, something like that, and you go, conflict! Okay, right there.
Got it.
Okay? And you sense, ouch, you sense it the right way. Others in here may need to be told that there's a conflict. You actually have to be told that you're in the middle of it. You're kind of clueless, a walking comma, an emotional zombie. Somebody could flip you off and you're like, nice nails. Okay? You have no idea that there's something going wrong. They're giving me direction with their middle finger. No, there must be some issues there, but you have no clue. You have to be told. But no matter what happens, when ouch hits, here's what we typically do. We move into what I will say is our default conflict management personality. Catch all that? Never mind. Default conflict management personality. This is what happens to me. Okay? A lot of good ransom heart stuff in here. All of us have one. And when the ouch hits, we all move into a default that fits our conflict style. I want to give you four that are pretty universal, and I want to get involved, get you going with this. So I want you to raise your hand if this is you, okay? First, when conflict hits, you get angry. It could be verbal anger. It could be nonverbal anger. But you're ticked. You feel it. You start boiling. Your veins pop. You're ready to blame and attack, but you get angry when you're hurt. Raise your hand, angry people in the room. Looking around. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right. You're not alone. There are lots of hands there. So another one is pouting. Okay? When the ouch comes, that causes silence. You back off. You withdraw. You retreat. You distance yourself from others. Basically, you stew. Raise your hand, pouters in the room, okay? They're like this. You're already pouting. All right, just get them up, okay? Raise your hand. I want to let you know I'm right there with you. That's the one I pretty much vote on. I go back and forth with a little boiling action too, but that's my default style, pouting. And when I'm hurting, people will come up to me and say, what's wrong? And what am I going to say? Exactly. Good. Okay. I'm not alone, obviously. Here's the third one. When the ouch hits, you typically deny. What tension? There's nothing wrong. It's kind of like ignore, but with some stupidity mixed in. Okay? How many of you, when the ouch hits, you deny conflict? Yes. All right. Yeah, good. The fourth is the biggie. This is the pretend. And it's really a 1-2 punch. Okay? It's really a 1-2 punch. You pretend like it's no big deal. You smile. Then the person turns their back and you stab them. Okay, right off the bat, it's classically passive-aggressive behavior all the way. There's the pretenders, love it. Who are the pretenders? Raise your hand. Anyone here? Okay, there are a few of you too. I didn't see everybody raise their hand, so let me ask you two questions, okay? There are some of you just sitting here right now. That's not what this message is about, by the way. but it's for another message. But you go down to your conflict manager style. When you go there and what you're looking at, if you didn't raise your hand, just take your pen and on your paper write in denial. That is your style, okay? Everybody's in this. We're all in this. You skipped right over that. But I don't care which one you really go to right now. That's not the purpose of this message, and that's another day. But the deal is this. You go for your default conflict style, and this is what I want you to do. When you go there, I want you to pause at the ouch for a minute. What's doing that? We're going to go into motive in a minute, but stop for a minute. Then I want you to commit to doing two things. First thing is this. Realize you live in a broken world. Write it in. I live in a broken world. The news is killing me right now. Okay? I don't need to say any more. Everybody in this room pretty much is nodding their head at me right now. I know. I know you've heard what I've heard. You've seen what I've seen. And you understand what I understand. Okay? It's painful. But I have news for you. You live in a broken world. It's broken. Take a deep breath. And this right here, this is the theological foundation for which conflict begins. This is where it begins, right here. It happens because two key words, sin and free choice, those two things. Conflict happens. Conflict happens because we have free choice and we sin. 6 billion people on this planet walking around with the freedom to fulfill their selfish desires with their sin of choice. It's no wonder we haven't blown up the world 10 times already, okay? Romans 3 says this, "For all have sinned, and all fall short of God's glorious standard." What does that mean when the ouch comes and I stop and I realize I live in a broken world? That I'm not alone. I'm not alone, and I'm not the only one in conflict. I'm not the only one, okay? And by the way, because of the theological foundation that it is, God is not surprised by conflict either. He's not surprised. He's not surprised by conflict globally. I would love to let him know, are you looking at this right now? Are you seeing this in our own country even? Are you seeing this, God? The conflict that's happening around the world. And he's not surprised at that. And he's not specifically surprised at your conflict either. Okay? Your conflict is not catching God off guard. He's not like, hey, where did that come from? That slipped in there. It's not him. Okay? It's not catching him off guard. As a matter of fact, God is well aware of the conflict. Okay? If you were to take your Bible and turn in the very, very beginning, you'll see in Genesis, there was a conflict right up front. Two brothers. Someone actually killed another person. And we were only 4 people into humanity at that point. Okay? And no, it was not over the TV clicker. It was over vegetables. Okay? This is a big deal. But conflict goes way back. I mean, the first 4 humans created. Think about it for a minute. It was worse. It was terrible. It was horrible. And you realize you live in a broken world, some ways raising your right hand of your heart, and you're saying, I'd admit that I hurt other people, but I also admit that people hurt me. I'm not alone in this, but I also want you to get this. I want you to seek peace. Okay? There's the next thing you do at this ouch stage. I'm not alone. I live in a broken world, but I must resolve to seek peace. That's what the verse said. I didn't make that up. That's Hebrews 12, okay? In everything that you can possibly do, you're going for it. Man, make every effort to live in peace and be holy. I'm just telling you what it says. I don't want to conflict, damage my relationships. I don't want to conflict and slow down the adventure that God has for me. I don't want to conflict and ruin my life. I don't want to ignore and be passive. I need to go after this. I need to resolve this. Romans 12 says, do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Underline, as much as possible. Do your part as much as possible. What I'm saying is this. When the ouch happens, pause. Take a picture of it. But you stop and go, I live in a broken world, a sinful world. I hurt others. Others are hurting me, but I don't want to live that way. I want peace with myself and with others, with God. That's all inside the ouch. And sometimes that conflict is going to take more than one stab at it. It's going to take a couple shots. It's going to take a little more effort. especially relational ones, maybe to write that card. Haven't spoke to you in 10 years. I just want to start something new and say I'm sorry. Relational conflicts, very, very difficult, okay? Let's go to the first what. This is a biggie. This is a tough one, okay? This one causes a lot of work. You might put a star by this. And if you think you want to skip this, don't, okay? What hurt and what was my part? This is my least favorite because I literally have to identify my pain or my own stupidity, okay? The Bible tells us to do this in Psalm 4:4. Great verse. Here it is. Great Band-Aid, too, to put on this. In your anger, do not sin, Andrew. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. You have to pull back. It mentions beds here. For me, it could be anything. It could be going to a guy's boot camp retreat. It could be in a tent for a period of time. It could be a bike ride. It could be just sitting under a tree for a while. But you're going to need to search your hearts. Set up a place where you can do that. And it's not an easy thing. As a matter of fact, if you've been here for a while, and you've heard me say this before, I use this term, holding the mirror up, okay? It's another way of saying searching your heart, holding the mirror up. You're looking for something bigger, not just a blackhead, okay? You're looking for something in your inner world. I want to get to the root of the hurt that's inside me. And I know a lot of guys received the Man in the Mirror book. Father's Day, this is a reference to that. It is a really big deal to hold that mirror up. Not at somebody else, but at yourself. Take a look at it. Here's what I want you to write down. What hurt me? What hurt me? This discovery stage, I've got to discover what hurt me. The ouch can come from any number of sources, no matter how many. But it's when the normal routine is typically disrupted, like mine was. Normal routine. Unpack, drink a lot of water after a long trip like that, and rest. It was unpack, sit down on a couch, and you're going to buy what? With what kind of money? And the conflict hit. I was set up, and I blew it. I didn't handle it well. And the bottom line here is my routine was disruptive. And somebody throws you a curveball. A neighbor gets something you want. Somebody says something to hurt you. Somebody belittles you in front of others. How's that? And what you've done is devalued. What you've created has been devalued. Worse yet, you're devalued. People don't accept you. You're rejected. A warm relationship has now turned cold. It doesn't matter. Millions of ways in which you can be hurt. But what I want you to do is, what hurt me? Explore that, okay? I talked to a lady last night, just briefly, as I was leaving CC's. I never thought of it this way, she said to me. I never thought of it in terms of what hurt me, like as in, think about it that way. Some conflict had come up. She was not going to be able to stay living where she was living. And for another month, she's got some big changes. So we started through some of these questions. You might say, Andrew, why do I have to spend time defining that specifically? Because what it will do is start to move you towards peace. Okay? It's not helpful for you to say, I don't know what hurts. It just hurts. I'm just ticked. I'm just mad. That's not a helpful thing. The other thing that it does, and this is a painful part, is when you say, what hurt me, what you may realize is what hurt you was not something that they did or said. But what hurt you was because of your own issue, possible insecurity that's there, your own brokenness, your own wounding. It wasn't about them at all. Another illustration, okay? This is painful. Not long ago on a Tuesday. Tuesday is not a perfect day in the Hobbs family, okay? We're having family dinner. We have tons of young adults. It's an active night. It is busy. And everybody comes home from their day, and we have a little window of time. Everybody has something to do. And if we don't do it, it's just going to get left undone. I wish I realized that, but it needs to get done kind of thing. And I sat up a little bit for me to do something. I asked my 15-year-old to sweep the back porch. And I notice Grace is not moving at the speed of which I think she should be moving. So this little verbal jousting gets going on, okay? And we're going back and forth. There's definitely an ouch moment there. And I resort to my pouting, okay? So what do? I go to work in another part of the house and I pout and I'm thinking, the ouch moment, I'm ticked, she's not sweeping fast enough. But when I go to this what question, what the heck am I dealing with that for, okay? You know what I found out? It wasn't her sweeping. What I found out and what hurt me was the fact that she's 15 years old and I'm scared. In 2 years or so, she's gone. I began to think maybe I haven't done my job as a parent to prepare her with a work ethic that will help her survive on her own. And all of a sudden, all of my insecurities about my parenting come up to the surface. And I'm like, we got a dinner in an hour, but I'm dealing with this, okay? And my own issues that I might have this trigger come up. And I'm sitting here going, man, what I did was lash out and blame simply to pacify my own heart, which was tanking. Not too many people can figure this out on their own. But I've failed at it many, many times to only know that there's got to be something inside me that's causing this reaction. And I took some time and I stumbled through it, but I made it out the other side. So I had to make it right. The next thing I want you to write down is this: what hurt me? What was my part? See, that's what I had to do. What was my part? Where is this coming from? You know, she was sweeping fine. What did I do? What did I not do? What was my role in this pain? What did I say? Was there a particular tone or a look or anything that contributed to what had happened? Got to look at my part in it. That's probably the most difficult for some of you in here, just because I know from personal experience. Did I have a part in it? That's the last thing you want to say. Friends, most of us don't spend any time here because we swiftly move past this. Are you ready? To blame. We want to get past my part in it so we can blame someone else. We blame other people to justify our actions or to minimize our role in the conflict. The key is this: what was my part? Is to move past the action. And my friends, God is saying to all of us this morning, including this pastor on the stage, to move to motive. There's a motive in everything you do and everything you don't do. Motive is a biggie because we're complex people. Most of us don't do anything with pure motives. We don't. Most of us live life with mixed motives. God deeply cares about our motives. It's everything to Him. The Bible says it in Proverbs 16. Look at it, great verse. People may be pure in their own eyes. You know how that goes. What? It wasn't me. I didn't do anything. What? Are you serious? But the Lord examines their motives. God is into motives. How do you examine your motives? I don't want to pass over this. How do you examine your motives? I'll tell you what it takes for me. Okay? Number one, time. Because I'm always moving around, I need to slow down on this one. I need time. I need to go fishing. It's not always about catching fish. Sometimes I don't catch anything. But my brain will catch up to my heart. I slow down. Sometimes it's a good paddle. I'm not just there for the fitness. But my brain will catch up to my heart. I need time. I need to reflect. I need to look at things carefully and to see what's going on. Asking tough questions. Brutal honesty. What's my motive in this? There are times when I need to bring a close friend into it and say, help me with my thinking. I don't want to be selfish, but I think it's going there. How do you see this outside the fishbowl looking in? Okay? What am I not seeing? What am I not asking about myself? You get after the motive. This what I told you is where the hard work is done in the ouch, what, who, what. Let's go to the who. Third stage, conflict management. Who's involved? Who all's involved? you might be at the surface and go, that seems like a dumb question, Hobbs. Who's involved? Isn't it obvious? The person I'm having the conflict with is who's involved. What I want to say to you is that is way too simple. Conflict is not just about a person you think you're having conflict with. When the conflict bomb explodes, okay, shrapnel flies all over the place. You've heard it. You've heard it in the malls. You've heard it in Vons. I've heard it in some of my own family members' homes or a reunion, different places, some kind of collateral damage in this relationship. And if I'm having a conflict with my wife and my anger is directed at her and her anger is directed at me, but our four kids are in the room, guess what? Okay? It might not be directed at them, but they're not the innocent parties. They're experiencing some anger that might now be creating fear in them. However it plays out, mom and dad are going to break up, it's my fault, whatever. Okay? It's collateral damage. Let's go to tomorrow. You go to Vons. You go to your job. You're down at the gas pump at Pebley. You have a conflict with a coworker. A conflict with a coworker that doesn't stay at work. And what you usually do, you usually take it home to your spouse or to your roommates. What happens is conflict has this domino effect. And you take it home, and all of a sudden you share that conflict. Then there's a conflict with the spouse or the roommate. And that clicks over to another roommate, or you have it out with your husband, and that clicks over to the kids, and all of a sudden, the cat's thrown out the window by the kids. Somebody's taking it out on somebody else. There's other people involved. The neighbor just happens to be putting their trash out of the street at the same time, and you lay into them because there are cans in your way, and you can't back your golf cart out. Been there. I'm just telling you, there are a million different things, and this domino effect, you might be saying, dude, I need to... I'm responsible for what other people's actions are? The answer is no. You can't be responsible for other people's actions, but you can care about what's happening with other people. You can care. And you might say, why would I care? I'm in the midst of conflict. Why would I care about people on the fringes? Here's why, okay? Because if they're here today and you're here, or let's just say one of you is only, and it's you, okay? You're a follower of Jesus. You've been called in this adventure to be different. The world says if you want to go the easy road, there's an adventure you can take. Jesus says, I'll give you an adventure. But you live by this road. This is the one. And you're called to be different on this road. This is the one. And on this adventure, as a matter of fact, if you study the teachings of Jesus, and he says these words a lot, okay, among you, it shall be different. He says that a lot. Among you, it shall be different. Okay? What is he saying? And who is he talking to here? He's talking to his followers. He's saying, here's how the world lives over here. And the world lives like this. They don't care about other people. But among you, you, my followers, it is to be different. Hobbs, a pastor's home does not have to be perfect. But you do need to deal with things as they come, including your own stuff. Don't let it go. Keep in check. So I'm coming clean. I want you to know. This is how I deal with it. This is where we should deal with it. This is what Jesus says is inevitable. It's coming your way. So be different. Come out among them and be different. That's what part of being a Christ follower is. Great verse, Philippians 2:3. Great verse, okay? If you haven't memorized it, write it on a little 3x5 card. Paint it on your wall. Get a tattoo. Stick it on your fridge, whatever, okay? Side of your dog, I don't know. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make good impressions on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Whoa. That's tough to do. Yet that's the challenge throughout all of God's teaching. Think of other people first. You want to be first? Be last. Want to walk and be great, put other people before you. Ouch, what? What? Let's get to final what. Final what is about action. I'm flying through this. What is needed? This is an action step here. I love going practical. That's my style. But a lot of people in here are saying, "I, it's a lot of material, but keep it simple. Ouch, what, who, what? What is my action? It's an action step. Notice I didn't have you put down here, what do I want to do? Because what do you want to do is certainly the easiest way out, okay? What I really want to do? Yeah, that's what I really want to do. It's going to always be the easiest way out, okay? Here's what happens in conflict. People fall, typically, in two camps. They either want to be liked or they want to be right. I'm guessing here, but I have a feeling those are the two biggies. They're big in my life. I want to be liked or I want to be right. Most of us, when it comes to conflict, either want one of those two things. I go to the former. I'd rather be liked. Stay neutral, everybody, right? Just want to be liked. I don't want to have to deal with this. Because of that, if that's, you know, it won't hurt me if I do it that way. Less pain. I want to do whatever's easiest. I typically do whatever powders want to do and avoid stuff, okay? I don't have to be right, though. That's not my personality. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be constantly seeking this out. I can guarantee you that this, when you deal with this in a biblical way, in a way that will honor God, it's not going to be the easiest way. You're going to fight it all the way to the end. You're going to fight all the way to the end. I'd rather just avoid it. This last what is about doing what is right and not what is easy. Athletes know this. In order to stay a team, you're going to have to deal with inter-team personalities and conflicts and dramas that go on. You must deal with it. Your team will not win or succeed and eventually will fail or quit if there's that inner conflict going on. Okay? Every one of you try to deal with this. It's not easy. What is needed, though? What's important? Three things. By the way, I can only be responsible for my actions. Okay? I can't be responsible for somebody else's actions. We said that. I have a good friend here. Reed is my good friend. Sometimes we'll play volleyball Sunday afternoons. And we need to get along. There's just two of us, or there's only two people in the court. John's played volleyball. You want to get along. You want to have a friend there. You want to know I'm thinking what he's thinking. This is his personal move. I got to set him up for this. But if there's conflict in there, you're not going to win. You're setting yourself up. Yeah, you are, but for failure. Okay? The volleyball game is over before it even started because you're all about you getting in what you need to, not thinking of how you can make the other person reach their success and where they need to be. And that's a big deal, okay? And so what is truly needed? Here it is. I need to confront. I hate saying that, but you need to. We need to confront. To seek peace, we have to go there. No passivity. I realize that some of you write that word confront down, you're thinking yourself, I would rather die than to confront. Confrontation has become synonymous with combat or domination. And what I want to suggest to you is this. A confrontation can be a conversation that is done with humility, gentleness, and wanting to be the best for the other person, doing my effort to make peace. It doesn't have to be a battle. You're seeking resolution. The easiest way out are a phone call face to face. You know, sometimes there's easier ways, a text, an email. Face to face certainly is difficult, but the easiest way out sometimes is a phone call. But to confront, look what the Apostle Paul said, Galatians 2. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. You read that? That's huge. Someone actually had to deal with that. That was in leadership. That you respect and I respect. And when we go to confrontation, what do? Okay? I'm going to have to have this conversation and look in my notes at this what section. I'm going to have to talk to them about what hurt me, what was my part, what did it look like. My battles and the things that I deal with, a lot of times I get defensive about those things. Because you're just telling me what I did wrong. That's all you're there to tell me to do. But when I think in terms of what was my part, it helps me in my confrontation with someone else. What was my part in it? How did I offend them? What did I do to make you upset? I want resolution here. This is my stance, but I may have hurt your feelings. And I'm sorry. That's a big deal, okay? Little, you know, Great verse, Matthew 7:3. Jesus says, why do you notice the little piece of dust in your friend's eye, but you don't take out the piece of wood in your own? See this image here? Okay. Jesus is saying, better look for this. Better go after the sawdust, because what you're doing is you're killing people with your own plank sticking out. Your adventure is in conflict. What is needed? It may need for you to confront someone. Okay. Number two is apologize on there. Under what? We hate to do it. We hate to say, I'm sorry. You see this all the time. We hit a certain age and all of a sudden we don't want to say, I'm sorry. What does an apology cost? It costs you nothing. But it also costs you your pride. Pride is not a good thing. It does cost you your pride, but pride is a good thing to give up. Pride, by the way, is like fool's gold. We're fools. When we think pride is a valuable thing, we're fools. It's not a valuable thing. It's the grand scheme of life. Pride is worthless. There's a cost to pride, and here's the cost. You won't get God's favor or blessing on your life. He's very firm about pride. And if you're a prideful person, great verse here. If you're struggling with it, as I have in the past and still do, would you like God's blessing on your life? Okay? Of course, you say yes. Not going to get it if you're filled with pride. Great verse, Proverbs 11:2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride ends how? In humiliation, while humility brings honor. Let me turn the knife a little bit more. And I'm aware of our time. I appreciate your patience. Prideful people are spiritual, immature people. Those that are prideful are struggling spiritually. If you're a prideful person, that can be an indicator of where you're at in your relationship with God. It is. As you grow spiritually, God begins to, number one, break you down and break that pride down and makes it easier for you to apologize. It just becomes natural. It feels better. So I'm in my back porch pouting, you know, the ouch is there. But what really needed to happen is I had to drop my pride and to say, Grace, I'm sorry. I've been a jerk. Thanks for sweeping. I know you've had a long day. I haven't even heard about your whole day, but you had a long day. I need to work on that. That's an adventure in conflict. It requires confrontation. Last but not least, you got to apologize and forgive. Forgive is huge. I've been teaching here for a few years, and chaos and tension, counseling activity, comment cards, when people comment on things, they want forgiveness. You look at them and you see what people have to say, specifically in the workplace. They're scars, and they're not ready to. Processing that stuff is hard. I have a scar that I had from a surgery on my heel not long ago. I was given some vitamin E oil to put on that to reduce the scar tissue. Anyone here have scar tissue stuff that you put on there? There's an oil for everything, right? Okay? Forgiveness is the oil on this whole deal. It's the whole deal. Forgiveness, the key word. It's vitamin E oil. Jesus says in Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied. 70 times 7. Peter thought he was being super spiritual with that, because Jesus was teaching, and Jesus just puts him right back, says, no. No spite, steer clear of it. It's a whole lot easier to talk about than to do. I understand that. When you hurt me, I want to come back and I want to spite you. I've got plans. This is how it is. My natural sin nature comes up and it wants to see you in some sort of pain. This week in Charlottesville, it was pitiful. Minor arguments set off major destruction and lives were lost. Decisions are being made now as a result. And let me tell you something, you do need to pay attention to this. It is coming our way if it hasn't already. We must be aware. And that's why, that is how this whole thing came about. It's an adventure, my friends. Choose wisely. Ouch, what? Who, what? What the heck is happening to me right now? Why am I thinking this way? What is my part in this? What do I need to do? Who's involved? Step back. Think carefully. Don't get involved. God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus modeled forgiveness. He modeled it. You're only one act of forgiveness away. It's not a weak thing to do. We need to own it. If there's something we're involved in, own it. Come up. You can only be responsible for your actions. Make every effort to live in peace. You're on an adventure. The adventure of conflict can either break you down or build you up. There's a bigger adventure going on inside and in your life. And if you're a believer, you're trying to make yourself more like Christ. These are the choices. I want to say thank you for sitting here patiently. We've gone a little long today. I know that. This is not a lesson, so to speak, that I felt was wise to divide into two, because some of you are technically going through something right now, and it's like, what is this that I need? I need a complete picture, and we've done it. And I appreciate your patience. Allow these verses to sink in. Take these outlines home with you and allow the beauty of Christ's life and navigation and how he did it to be yours, because it's a beautiful thing. Confrontation can be a beautiful thing. Apologizing can be a beautiful thing. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing. And when you sit back and you look and see how things progress in your relationship, you turn around and you go, that was worth it to me. And maybe you have to do it in a family member. Those are hard. Maybe you have to do it in a coworker. Maybe you have to do it in a roommate. However it looks, break it down. Let's pray. God, thanks for the men and women that are here. Thank you that you understand conflict. You understand pain. We're not alone in this. We put a check mark in that box because we don't want the scars of relational conflict. We want to live the life that you have set before us. We want to live life to its fullest. Thank you that you make that available. We can't deal with conflict on our own wisdom, or we wouldn't have this many scars. We need your help. We need your supernatural power.